could do it. And so the implication there is if it doesn't feel good, if it's not enjoyable, if it's not pleasant anymore, then we don't need to do it. In fact, why would you persist in something? Just let it go. But Paul's reminding us as Christians, we have a responsibility. Again, verse 1, therefore, since we have this responsibility or this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So my first question is, who has this ministry? The Bible here says, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. So it's us. We have this ministry. What's the ministry? The ministry of sharing Christ and sharing what he has done for us as sinners. This is our ministry. I like in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, Paul writes this. He says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the word is ministry of reconciliation. So this is the very next chapter. Paul is continuing this train of thought. So the ministry that he's talking about is that of reconciliation, to bring together us and God through Jesus Christ. And he's reconciled us, and therefore he's given us the ministry. And so Paul's reminding us, we have this responsibility. It's a privilege, but it's a responsibility. And so it's not correct to say, Pastor has a ministry. After all, he's the minister. He's called the minister. Well, I am. And God does call some believers into particular parts and kinds of ministries. But we all have this ministry. And this is what Paul was reminding us in Corinthians, when he's reminding us that we all have this ministry of reconciliation. In hardships, hard times, difficult times and trials, we must remember our responsibility as a people of God. We have a ministry when we are in good times, and we have a ministry in hard, challenging times. Thinking about this, I can't help but think about Jesus. When he was about to go to the cross, this was why he came, his purpose. He was about to go to the cross, and in Matthew 28, verse 38, it says he went a little farther in the garden. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And so even in this hard time, in this trial that Jesus was facing, that he was coming to, he knew his responsibility, and that came first. He knew why he was here, what he was to do. And that was the most important thing. He did not lose heart. The second thing we need to remember so that we don't lose heart is to maintain our authenticity. Back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Am I on clearly? Can everybody hear me fine? Okay, good, because it's really quiet. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 now says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul's basically reminding the people, those who are truly redeemed and born again, saved Christians. He says, basically, we must be for real. Real. He says, our former lives, we've renounced. We've confessed them. We're not the same anymore. That's not who we are. We are to be sincere. Nothing is worse. Nothing is more difficult. Nothing is more tiring and exhausting than not being sincere. So he urges us to be who you are. Who are you? That's the question. And we need to be reminded. Who are you? You are forgiven. You are blood bought. You're redeemed. You're a new creation. You're a child of the living God. This is who you are in Christ. This is who we are in Christ. Maintain our authenticity of who you are. There, another thing he states here is that we're not handling the word of God deceitfully. Not handling the word deceitfully. There's two main reasons people deceitfully handle the word of God. Two main reasons that people deceitfully handle the word of God. Let me share briefly these two things. The first is simply profit. Profit. Not as in Old Testament prophets, but as in making money profit. There's a lot of examples in this world of people who are using the word of God for their gain. There are plenty of people that are willing to tell others that God wants them to be wealthy. God wants them to have more. God wants them to have everything they want in this life. If they just give them more, they will get more in return. So they're willing to mishandle God's word deceitfully for profit. The second reason is this: pride. Profit and then pride. Some people desire to make a name for themselves. Clever new understandings of the word of God. I want to suggest something to you. If you find somebody, however, in a book, online, on television, on the radio, if you find somebody who claims to have some breakthrough with a new best-selling book or Bible teaching and this breakthrough of Christian understanding that no one else has seen before, I would encourage you to avoid it. Our job is to continue to teach the word of God as once given for all saints, once given, and make this as clear as possible. Maintain our authenticity. Who are you in Christ? Be who you are in Christ. Now more than ever, the world needs to see the church of God being the church. Number three, then Paul urges us to fight our true enemy. Fight our true enemy. Who is our true enemy? It's not the virus. It's not governments. It's not other people. Who is our true enemy? I think you know. Look at verse 3 of our text, 2 Corinthians 4. Says, but even if the gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Who's the God of this age? We're talking about Satan. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan's busy. He's at work. And his job is to blind people from the light of the gospel. That's his goal. That's his commitment. And he's serious about it. Paul's reminding us here that we're in a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle that we fight. So don't get angry at people. Don't get angry at someone for rejecting the gospel even. Pray for them. Pray for Satan to be bound. Pray for their eyes to be opened that they could see the beauty of the gospel and the beauty of Christ. Because the Bible says that we're spiritually blinded before Christ. Remember who the real enemy is. familiar passage Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is like that roaring lion. We know this verse. I think most of you do. We've heard it. Satan seeks to defeat us in a couple of ways. He seeks to defeat us through distorted truth from false teachers. The more distortion of the truth of false teachers of the Word of God, the more confusing the gospel becomes this way. And it makes it confusing for the world. And they say, what gospel? Which one? How do I know what's true? Satan seeks to defeat us also through blinding the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel. This is what the Bible is telling us. He blinds their eyes, blinds their minds, so that they cannot see the beauty of the gospel. Yet we're reminded by Paul that there is hope in the light of the gospel breaking Satan's darkness. Look at verse 5. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ. And God, who commanded light to shine from darkness, is the one who shone light in our hearts. And just as he shone light in our hearts when you heard the gospel, he can shine the light in other hearts as well. We don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Number 4. We need to develop our stability. Stability. Back to our text. Paul continues, verse 7. But if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. We are those earthen vessels he's talking about. Earthen vessels is just a fancy way of saying a pretty basic jars of clay. And reminds us that we were made from the dust of the earth. That's what we are. We're just people. And jars of clay are nothing that is particularly fancy, nothing particularly beautiful in and of themselves. But inside, we possess a great treasure. And that treasure is Christ. We are the light of the world. We are the ones that are supposed to shine in darkness. We have the gospel of Jesus, which is a beautiful thing. And it's in earthen vessels, jars of clay, us. But then Paul goes on to remind us that no matter what is thrown at us, we do not despair. For we're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. We belong to God. We're in his hands. We have that hope. We have that peace of God that passes understanding. This is what's in us. You know, I think in some ways we should be thankful for difficult times like this. Difficult times. In these difficult times, this is the test of Christian faith. We've been lied to for a long time by health and wealth preachers telling us that when you follow Jesus, no troubles will come. When you follow Jesus, there won't be any more problems. And that's a lie. That's false. Remember Jesus' words, John 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And then he says, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." He makes a comparison. He makes a contrast. He says here, in me you have peace. In me you have peace, but in the world you have tribulation. You have trials. You have trouble. But the word he gives to us is be of good cheer. We don't fret. We don't lose heart. We don't have heart failure because he's overcome the world. He is going to make all things new. We are new creations, and we have an eternal home with him. We have that security. We can trust him. So point is, even we Christians can go through some great trials and tribulations in this world. How do we respond in those trials makes a big difference. How do we respond? One more thing. One more thing we're reminded of. Why we do not lose heart. How we do not lose heart. That's number 5. Serve the Lord selflessly. We see Paul writing, and he saw the trials as opportunities to be used. The trials that Paul went through, and we know about Paul, he went through a lot of trials. His life wasn't one of ease and just enjoyment. He went through some difficult trials, and in other places he mentioned them. He lists them one by one to show. A lot of the early Christians went through some great trials, persecution. Verse number 10, though, he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about himself, his testimony. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body, may be shown in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Verse 10, he's referring to the suffering that he endured as a result of Jesus Christ. And Paul endured much suffering. He was at first a great persecutor of the church, but we see later he was a great advocate, a great missionary for the church and for the gospel. But we see he also endured great suffering. Those who hated Jesus and the message of the gospel, they took it out on those that represented him, like Paul. And so Paul's own body physically bore the marks of the death of Jesus in a very physical way. It showed the marks of the death of Jesus from those who were taking it out, taking their hatred and rejection of Jesus out on the representative of Jesus, Paul. We see in, for example, in Acts chapter 14, the people of the city of Lystra responded to the message by stoning Paul. And they assumed that Paul was dead, and they just left them for dead. Paul got up later, and he went on immediately into another town, Derbe, to preach the gospel there. When he went to Derbe, they would have seen his cuts. They would have seen his bruises that he took. The marks on his body for the cause of Christ. But God used it to bring many in Derbe to Jesus Christ. And so Paul, when he talks about the marks of the death of Christ on his body, he's being quite literal here as well. Paul was dragged before kings to give an account for what he was doing. And even then he would take those as opportunities. He would take it as an opportunity to preach, like from a pulpit. When placed in solitary confinement, as in prison, and Paul was several times, Paul then took the opportunity to continue the work, even in solitary, writing the church's letters that we use today. We call them the epistles. Those are the letters that Paul wrote to the church under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to teach and instruct the church. And we still benefit and grow from his letters today. Every trial that Paul faced, he turned into opportunity for the cause of Christ. Notice the conviction of Paul in verse 14. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. Paul was absolutely convinced, first, of the resurrection of Jesus. He persecuted Jesus. And on that road to Damascus, when Jesus came to him, he says, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you kicking against the goads? And he showed himself to Christ, to Paul in a very real way. And so Paul was totally convinced, finally, of the resurrection of the Messiah Jesus. And second, he was convinced of our resurrection with him. Since Jesus Christ rose, we have this confidence that we are risen with him. Not only in the future, one day, when we die, if we die, then we are resurrected to be in his presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But also now, we are risen with Jesus. We are new creations. We are different. We have the Spirit of God in us. And because of this conviction of the resurrection, in our resurrection with him, no amount of opposition, no amount of trials and difficulties were going to stop him. He did not and would not lose heart. Look at verse 15. He says here, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. His desire was to share the grace of Christ and have many come to know him, to many come to know the glory of God. Because of this motivation of Jesus Christ, he would not quit. He wouldn't quit. He says, these things are for your sakes. I cannot quit. And we must not either. We cannot. We do not lose heart. A husband may go through some hard times and say, I'm tired of my marriage, tired of my kids, tired of my job. I want to quit. But then he remembers. He remembers his family. He remembers the Lord and his responsibility that God has given to him. And he gets back in. Maybe a Christian businessman grows tired because they see others cheating and getting ahead at the same time. And he's tempted to quit and give in as well. But then he remembers his testimony to others and the conviction that Jesus Christ is the only true way. He gets back in. Maybe a student gets so tired of being the odd one out at school, and they're feeling the pressure to conform to the world, to fit in with others. But then they remember too who they are in Jesus Christ and what he has made them to be, who they are representing, and they get back in. Perhaps in this current situation that we're facing, you may be starting to feel discouraged, maybe confused, maybe ready to give up. You feel like that. But like Paul, remember what it is that we're here for. And your testimony of grace is important to others around you. Get back in. We do not lose heart. Find ways, find opportunities for sharing the love of Christ with someone else. Seek to be a blessing. Be a blessing to someone. Be the light, that your life may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God as well. Now, in closing this message, I want to restate what Paul said in verse 1. Again, after we've gone through everything else, he says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. So remember, first of all, we remember our responsibility. Second, we maintain our authenticity. Be who you are in Christ. Third, we fight the true enemy. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. We don't fight flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Fourth, develop our stability. We're not destroyed. We're not crushed. We have eternal security in Jesus Christ. And fifth, we serve the Lord selflessly. Look for opportunity. Look for opportunities during this time. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord in heaven, I thank you for your word to us of encouragement today, a reminder to us that we do not lose heart. May we remember these things, Father, our responsibility that you've given to us. You've given us a ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, as we have received. Lord, may we, as followers of Christ, maintain our authenticity and walk in who we are in Christ. We are born again children of God. We are new creations. We are not the same. Thank you, Lord, for who you've made us to be. Lord, may we keep our eyes on the true enemy. May we be wise. May, Lord, we recognize that he is as a roaring lion, sneaking around, seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, may we develop our stability, realizing that there is nothing that can be done to us that you are not in control of, that you do not allow, that we are in your hands. We are secure in you. And Lord, may we continue to serve you selflessly, looking for opportunities, even during this difficult time, that we would remember we have a ministry, and may we look for opportunities to serve you, to be a light, to be the salt. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers, my sisters. At this time around us, when so many are confused and struggling and unsure, Lord, may they see in us a light. May they see in us a hope. May they see in us a peace that passes understanding. And one more thing, Lord, as always, if there is anybody who is uncertain of their own salvation, maybe they're questioning if they truly have trusted Jesus to be their Savior, that he's forgiven their sin, I pray, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and that they may contact myself, Pastor Mike, one of our church leaders, Lord, Brother Josh. Father, I pray that they would contact us, that we can help them to know what it is to be born again. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to Pastor Mike for a few announcements. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Hey, thanks for the message this morning. Really great. Do not lose heart, church, for the Lord's in control. And we are in his care. So thank you again for the message. Just a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. First of all, we reached 100 viewers on the message time, which is great. our limit on what we currently have on Zoom was 100. So if you know someone who tried to log in by Zoom and they couldn't log in, Pastor Ken and Josh and I will be discussing this week about possibly going to the next level, which means there'll be more space available for more than 100 devices to connect. So we'll be talking about that. Also, you can always log into our Facebook page. And on our Facebook page, you can either watch the service live from there or the internet webpage. And through the webpage, you can watch it even on delay if you choose to do that later on. So we'll let you know about that for next week as far as the number of devices that we can connect. Also, don't forget Wednesday night prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. We had 33 devices connected on the prayer meeting for Wednesday. But we can do more than that. What are you doing Wednesday night at 7 o'clock? Join in with us for prayer time through the Zoom meeting, the same ID number that you logged into this meeting as well. Also, Friday night, the teen group is still on, 7 o'clock Friday nights with Josh. He had a few that had joined him this past Friday. Josh, is there anything that you'd like to mention or say about the teen group coming up for this Friday night or to just encourage some of the ones to jump on?
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, hi. Yeah, feel free to join in, and we'll continue in our study in Revelations, which is a pretty appropriate time to be going through right now. But yeah, feel free to jump on. I'll send you the ID and the links if you'd like to join us. But like we said, what are you doing Friday night? Probably nothing. So feel free to join in, invite some friends, and we'll have some fun.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Hey, we might all join with you on Friday night. So your teen group might grow from teens to all of us. That would be fun as well. Just remember to pray for our missionaries, as Pastor Ken mentioned earlier. Daniel and Carol Dortch, and of course, baby that they're expecting coming up before too long. So continue to pray for them. And then also, we always like to celebrate birthdays. Well, I don't have a list necessarily that has everyone's birthday on it, and I can't see everyone on the screen. So here's what we're going to do. If you had a birthday this week, or you have a birthday coming up next week, why don't you send that in to me through text or email, and then through the announcements next week, we'll make sure everyone knows what's going on with birthdays and anniversaries. You'll probably get a lot more greetings from birthday and anniversaries this way. People have time to write you a personal message, so that would be a great thing. So send that in to me, and I'll make those announcements next week. If through the weekday you have any time and you just want to chat, myself, Pastor Ken, Josh, please feel free to contact us. We're available to you. So just because we're not at the church office doesn't mean we can't sit down and have a chat. So I think that's all of the announcements that I need to share with you for right now. So thank you so much. God bless you. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Ken for a closing few words in prayer time.
Thank you. I saw Michael Ng said it's his birthday. So happy birthday, Michael. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you. Anybody else? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm getting some applause. I appreciate that one. Tess? Did I hear Tess? Happy birthday, Tess. No, I'm not going to sing for every one individually. Okay. Amelia Chang, sweet 16. Yes, Amelia, happy birthday. I heard that from Brother Josh last week. But I see somebody else. Whose anniversary? Jones and Adora. Follow on. Happy anniversary to you. I hope you guys are having a good anniversary together. Go out somewhere to the backyard or something. Have a good one. Okay, listen, just in closing, I just want to say, you know, that we're developing. We're wanting to keep our church connected as much as we can during this challenging time. And so we're working on some things. There may be some new things. For life groups, I just encourage you to make contact with your leaders if you haven't already, I'm sure, and just ask them or find out what's going on, and you guys can continue to be connected, get together. I'm also talking with Miss Jennifer here about maybe having a time with some of our kids, the kids club. We're looking at maybe doing a session like this with the kids for a story time. We have a lot of good children's books here that we can have a story time together with Miss Jennifer. So we'll be working on that this week and announcing what's going on as we go this coming week. Be sure to check ibcchurch.com for announcements, for some changes that are happening as they happen. And again, I would encourage you to also be faithful to the Lord in giving. We didn't take up an official offering, so I'll leave that in your hands and trust that the Lord provides. We love you guys. We are praying. And let's not lose heart. Amen. Okay, let's pray. Be dismissed. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the ministry that you've given to each of us of reconciliation. Father, I pray that we would leave this time together, but Lord, remembering the responsibility that we still have, that we, Lord, would not lose heart, have heart failure, but we would be encouraged because of what you're doing and what you've given to us to do. These are exciting times, Lord. We trust in you. And we know, Lord, that you will use all things for the good. Help us to trust and rely on you. Thank you, Father. Dismiss us now with your blessings, I pray. In Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. I'm going to sign out here. I'll leave the meeting open just for a moment if anyone wants to say something to somebody else. So I'm out. God bless.